Today's gospel starts with the miraculous cure of a man who is unable to speak. A mute man. Now, that's a physical condition, of course, but it's also symbolic of anyone who's unable to speak the truth, anyone who's unable to praise God, anyone who's unable to bring forth the goodness of God, which is part of what we're supposed to do with the power of speech, because the word must be proclaimed, the truth must be made known. Well, Jesus addresses the problem in the case of this one man. The mute man speaks as soon as Jesus drives out the demon. But notice the two different reactions to the obvious miracle. The crowds say, well, first of all, they're amazed, which is the right response. And they say, nothing like this has ever been seen in Israel. Exactly. Something new has arrived on the scene of human history. There isn't anyone who can solve impossible problems like Jesus can. So they're right. Nothing like this has ever been seen in Israel. Now, they're not yet proclaiming their faith in him, but at least they're acknowledging the truth. The Pharisees have the opposite reaction. They, sounds like sour grapes, no? It sounds like jealousy or some kind of bitterness inside. They say he drives out demons by the prince of demons. With no evidence, and in fact, the evidence supports the very opposite of what they're saying. They make this accusation that he does good by the power of evil, which doesn't make any sense anyway. But I think it's important to point out that these two reactions are given to Jesus' good works, because this still happens. Something good happens, or the Lord does something good, and those who are not spiritually mute say, this is good. And those who are spiritually mute, who are somehow prevented by their own sin or their own limitations, they can't acknowledge, sometimes they can't even admit that God is at work. This is a kind of reaffirmation of what we heard in Sunday's gospel when Jesus prays to the Father for hiding things from the wise and the learned and revealing them to the little ones. Remember that gospel on Sunday? That was the opening line. Jesus prays to the Father, praise and thanksgiving to the Father for hiding things from the wise and the learned and revealing them to the little ones. Well, it's not that God wants to hide things all the time. Sometimes it's true, he doesn't reveal everything at once. But sometimes he tries to reveal, or he does reveal, and because of our pride, because of our self-appointed wisdom and learning, we reject what is revealed or simply don't acknowledge it at all. We're mute by the power of sin. So that's something we see in the beginning of today's gospel. But Jesus is not stopped by the nasty response of the Pharisees. He goes all around. He goes to all the towns and villages, teaching, proclaiming the gospel, curing every disease and illness, driving out demons. In other words, he's going to continue doing good no matter what anyone thinks about it, because he's not basing his actions on what people think of him. He's basing his actions on the will of the Father. He's fulfilling the will of the Father, which is what we're to do as well, no matter what anyone thinks. But notice what it says about Jesus as he goes around. At the sight of the crowds, his heart was moved with pity for them, because they were troubled and abandoned like sheep without a shepherd. Very accurate description of the human family when we try to live without God, or live as if God doesn't exist. Then we're living without a shepherd. And this sadly is the case of many, many people. In fact, whole cultures act as if there's no God, and so are in a troubled condition, a seemingly abandoned condition, because they're like sheep without a shepherd. Now, it's never true that we're sheep without a shepherd, because of Jesus. We always have a shepherd. But if we don't acknowledge him, or if we don't follow him, we don't listen to him, then we put ourselves in the position of being without a shepherd. And this is what we see in today's first reading. The prophet Hosea, or the Lord through the prophet Hosea, speaks about the condition of the Israelites. They made kings in Israel, but not by my authority. They established princes, but without my approval. In other words, they're acting as if God is not in charge. They're acting on their own, independent of the authority of God. Why are they left like sheep without a shepherd? Because they have abandoned the shepherd. He calls the people, cast away your idols. They're not going to do you any good. They're going to be fruitless, empty. They leave you empty-handed without access to God. So this is a reminder that to abandon God is to be left with no shepherd. But Jesus doesn't abandon his sheep. Now in this Mass we're concluding the novena for Miki, and that tragic or sad moment can leave us feeling abandoned, especially the family, the Villafrancas, can feel like suddenly abandoned, because that's how grief feels. And we have to acknowledge that. So it's not as if people will praise the Lord because they lost a loved one. But the truth is, we're not abandoned. The truth is, we have a shepherd, and that's Jesus Christ. And he not only wants to gather us, he wants to get in this world, he wants to gather us into eternal life. And because it's his will that we have eternal life, we can have confidence in his mercy even when we lose a loved one. That's our faith. And it's a very consoling thing to know we have a shepherd even when we are in our lowest point, when we feel troubled and abandoned. Remember, again, on Sunday's Gospel, there was that beautiful expression of Jesus himself, come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. No one gives rest the way Jesus gives rest. In fact, the great rest is eternal rest. Right? That's why we pray when someone dies, we pray eternal rest. Grant her eternal rest. And we pray that prayer not with some kind of a vain hope or an empty idea that, oh, that would be great. No, that's what God wants. We're uniting ourselves with the will of God when we pray for eternal rest for the loved ones who pass away. So it's very, very deeply consoling. It doesn't always change our emotional state, but it's very deeply consoling in the spirit. This is Jesus. He is the shepherd, and he provides for his sheep, not always in the way the sheep want, but in the way that is best for them. So with that confidence, we draw close to him. We don't refuse to have a shepherd. That's a terrible mistake. In fact, it's a disastrous blunder to reject the shepherd. No, we turn to the shepherd because we're little ones. And to little ones, God reveals what he can't reveal to the wise and the learned. To the little ones, he reveals his own love, his own mercy, his own eternal life, and shares that with us.